Hey, what's up, guys? This is Deion Brown, and you are definitely listening to Man vs. Brand. Before we actually launch into this episode, I'd like to encourage you guys to check out Man vs. Brand on all social media platforms. You can also check out manversusbrand.com. There you'll get merch, you'll see episodes, all of the podcast platforms that we're on. It's a really great site for all of that stuff. Now, I want to talk about the next two episodes. We're going to talk to outsourced freelance support. So those are individuals in other countries that help us in the States to grow our best businesses. We have accountants, lawyers, marketers, all available and at our fingertips in order to help us in other countries. Well, what's their experience like? We talk to entrepreneurs here. I'm interested to see about those folks over there. So I want to talk to them. I think you're going to get something from this story. We're going to start the podcast in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
One of the greatest philosophers of our time once said that when it's up, then it's stuck. Find out how to make your next big idea stick with Deion Brown and his podcast. With 20 years of experience in growing and managing businesses and brands at the highest level, Deion is having the conversations that you are looking for. Welcome and have a great time.
I want to say this. There are so many people across this globe that are servicing individuals in other countries, in other cities, in other states. So I wanted to talk to some of these folks. You'll be hearing a two-part series. One, I'm going to speak with Ruben from Nigeria. That's the talk today. The second person I'm going to speak to is Cameron from Pakistan, who also services and does work outsourced freelance style. I want you guys to understand that there might be language barriers. There might be language differences. Both individuals speak solid English. It may not be as fluent as what's typically heard on a podcast, but I want you guys to really listen to the content of what's being spoken. That is important, that we listen to the stories that are being told and that we understand the perspective of those who are willing to share their story. So with that said, I hope you enjoy this podcast. Today, we're going to have Ruben. Ruben does marketing services in Nigeria, and I wanted to talk to him about what his experiences are. Ruben, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Okay. My name is Chris Ruben, and then I am a profound digital marketer. I started the journey of digital marketing in back then in 2019. So that's 3 years ago. I started with learning about primarily marketing. So I do social media marketing, I do influence marketing, and then I do brand promotion like YouTube, podcasts, Spotify, and then SoundCloud, lots more. So now as a professional, I work with a team of individuals, and then we work together. So because in my own organization, I try to duplicate what I know, try to teach people about what I know, just to make sure that we all have our problem-solving skills, take it to the global market, and then see where how we can help people to solve the problem when it comes to marketing and then promotion. So 2019 2020 2021, that was when I started working on getting projects from people, trying to help them to advertise their business or channel promotions, just to make sure that we get subscribers, viewers, listeners, and whatever kind of result you want.
All right, that sounds good. So wait, so listen, let me ask you this, right? So you got into the game in about 2019, right?
Yes.
Okay. So how did, so were more people, did you find that probably because of the pandemic. So you had just gotten into it right before the pandemic hit globally. Were more people starting to be interested in using digital services, specifically your digital services, after the pandemic hit and people weren't able to really get out and market one-on-one like they used to?
Okay. If I should get your question, I think you want to know how advantageous it was for me to have started my skills before the pandemic.
Yeah. So, what was your experience during the pandemic in terms of people wanting to use digital marketing?
Okay. Well, during that time, it was great. It was fabulous. Like, I never knew there was going to be a pandemic in 2020. So back then in 2019, I built in my skills. I had some clients that work with. So in 2020, when we had a pandemic, it was great because so many people come into trying to do something online since there was no movement. So a lot of people had to do something online to help them out. So then I had lots of YouTube promotion projects. Like I have different clients coming to me, and then that was when I make greater sales in promotion service because I had millions of people from different parts of the web places coming, trying to message me on Fiverr and different places, telling me they want me to help them to monetize the channel so they could be making money through YouTube since they couldn't go out again. So during the period of pandemic, it was great. Like okay. Many people were forced to.
Nice. So you mentioned Fiverr. So what's been your experience on Fiverr? Has it been a good experience, a decent experience? What's been your experience on Fiverr?
Yeah, experience on Fiverr has been decent, you know, because Fiverr, though when I started, wasn't really easy. I had to study the TOS, that's terms of service, trying to make sure that I don't do whatever they don't want me to do. So, but it's been very wonderful. Like I was able to connect people from different races. I'd work with people from China, people from UK, people from even African countries. So I've worked with a lot of people. With Fiverr, I was able to connect with different people across the globe, and then I was able to exchange my skills in return for their money. So I give them my service, they pay for my service, and then we're cool. So everybody's happy.
Okay. And what about the Fiverr model, right? So people are paying in $5 increments. Do you find that the services that you provide, you think are more valuable than the money that people typically want to spend? Or do you find that people seem to negotiate and you're able to find a good middle point with the value of your services and the price that they want to pay?
Well, that's a very good question, you know, because one of the problems you face whenever you're in a competitive market, when the market is competitive, you just you feel this problem of getting what you deserve. You know, sometimes you see someone who just give you like a kind of a project that will take you 7 days, 10 days, and then they just want you to take $5 for something you're going to do for 10 days, 15 days. You know, most of the time when you try to convince those people that the work I'm going to do for you, the kind of promotion, the kind of marketing I'm going to do for you, the kind of advert I'm going to do to make sure that your business goes across the globe, I take it globally, is not something easy. So taking $5 and then Fiverr will take charges 20%.
I didn't know that. Fiverr charges 20%. So you're not actually getting the $5. You're getting the $5 minus a fee.
That's just it. You're not actually going to get what you receive from your client. You know, from the $5, the 20% is one. So you have $4. And the sad news is you wouldn't be able to withdraw the $4 except if you're using PayPal. If you want to use bank transfer, you want to use Payoneer, you still can withdraw nothing less than 36.
Got it.
If you don't have chance to withdraw it.
Wow. All right. So I didn't know that. So listen, so let me ask you a little bit about you. So where are you located? What city are you in?
Okay. Presently now, I am in Enkwaru State. That's the northern part of Nigeria.
Okay.
Yes.
Nice. So you're in the northern part of Nigeria. If I can ask you, do you have a family? Are you like, what's your status? Like, are you providing for a family? Or are you just providing for yourself?
Okay. What I do is I join an organization called Faith Heroic Generation. So that was actually where I got to acquire my skills. So now in this business organization, they're going to teach you all the skills, give you the empowerment to be the kind of person you want to be in life. And then they're going to teach you the power of network marketing. So like when you're doing this Fiverr thing, you help people across the globe, you give them your service in exchange for the money. Then we have a network marketing business that we joined together with it. So it is the network marketing that will now require you to look for people. You look for people around you who might be suffering, people you see that need business. So you're going to bring them into the business. You're going to teach them. And once they start making money, then you begin to grow your network marketing business. You know,
let me just get to where I was going with this. Do you make enough, like, is Fiverr and these platforms that you're on enough to support your life and maybe the life of your family or friends or anyone that you want? Like, do you make enough money on the platforms to support your life, considering that the platform is taking 20%? You might not be able to withdraw money. If you're trying to withdraw it through a traditional bank transfer system, like, is what you're currently doing on Fiverr enough to support your life and the life of whoever depends on you?
Okay, that's a good question. Well, it's a two-sided answer that I'm going to give. So, like, it's very good. Like, it's usually gainful when the sales is boom. Like when you have lots of sales, you like maybe you make $1,000 or more than that, you're able to cover family expenses and then even your own personal stuff. You're able to meet up with all the expectations. Whenever you have everyday Christmas, there's some of the time that you don't really make a good sale. So when that time comes, you just feel frustrated. You just lose it because you are going to fail so many people. Like family expect you to do something and they say it's just not good enough. So you wouldn't be able to meet up. But whenever there is good sales with the charges they take, you're still going to be able to beat all the responsibilities you want to channel for that period of time, for that month. So it depends. And most of the time now, you see that we have lots of crowds coming to the platform. So it's not as fun as it used to be.
I would imagine. There's a lot of people that are now in Fiverr where I think, you know, probably 3-4 years ago before the pandemic, people weren't looking for supplemental income in the same way, right? And so now you have a lot of people that are looking for supplemental income remotely. And Fiverr and these other and similar platforms like Freelancer, there's a ton of them out there where people can be helped with freelance work. And so I'd imagine there's just more people on the platform.
Yeah, it's no longer as before that. You know, back then in 2019, you just don't face a lot of competition. So, but this time around, it's just like a hell of a place because you have to struggle with some sellers just to beat up the price you're giving your client. So some people tell you want to charge $100. I have someone here who is begging me to take to bring $20 so he can do it for me. So kind of situations like that is just not helpful.
Got it. So let me ask you a little bit about just experience, right? So I would imagine for much of the world, unless you decide otherwise, you're probably engaging in English, I would imagine, or using some translating program in order to translate, right? I would imagine.
Okay. Do you mean how I'm coping with use of English?
Well, no. Not just English, but like, so how are you communicating? Like, you have someone from China, you have someone from the UK, you have someone who may be, you know, from another part of the world, let's say like Russia or like the Ukraine, right? How are you, since they're all global, how are you communicating with them? Are you communicating with them through a translation software? Are you communicating with them based on a common language? Like, how are you, as someone who may not have that language as their primary language, communicate effectively through, you know, written word in the apps?
Okay. The most countries that have those issues, whenever I meet them, people from Brazil,
yep,
people from Belgium, sometimes people from Spain, you know, the Spain speaks, they speak Spanish. So each time you try to give them English, they just like, I don't understand. I can't speak English. So most of the time I make use of Google Translate.
Okay.
And then I use Google Translate, and then I have a software that I'm also using to translate the language. So whenever they send me in their home world language, I put it to the tool, so it converts to English for me to understand, and then I try to reply them in English, and then I convert to the language that I send to them.
And that sounds like a lot of work, good work, right? It sounds like it's necessary work, but it sounds like it's a lot of work in being a global business. So do you feel like once you're done with the Fivers and you've built this big business that you want, and maybe you're still using Fiverr, maybe not, that you're gonna, that this is preparing you for being able to take your business global truly, where you're not relying on a platform, where you can just be out there and you already have the translation software, you already understand pricing, you already understand need, so that you can help whoever comes to you? Do you feel like the app is giving you that sort of power to be able to eventually get to a point where you can help anyone anywhere?
So, not really. It's not enough, because some of the times you see that there are some people, they just detect that you don't really understand the language. So because you cannot compare a tool or software to the real tone of the language. So it's just not enough. It's just not enough. But some people, they accept it. Some people don't.
All right. So let's talk about that. Do you experience language bias, where people don't want to work with you, or you feel like they're maybe talking to you in a particular kind of way because they don't believe that you fully grasp the language that is native to them?
Of course, language barrier is one of the problems we're facing. Like, there are some people, they even gotta put it straight. I want someone who speaks French. If you don't speak French, don't bother coming to my inbox, because I'm not going to attend to you. They tell you some of these things, and some of these people, they will even tell you, okay, like now, sometimes I do websites. Some people will tell me that they want all the content of the website to be written in the language. Like, some people will come up with Arabic. So they tell me they want the home page, all the part of the pages about us, privacy policy, everything should be in Arabic. So most of the time, I just have to look for a plugin that does that. But in most cases, they're just like, no. I prefer someone in my country. I prefer someone who lives in Arab. So that's someone who understands my language, and I prefer to work with that person, not you, that will be using some kind of translating tools to make up my language. So no, it's not going to be professional. So language barrier is a problem, and there's no solution to that yet.
Got it. Do you feel that that individuals have a good or bad feeling about outsourcing internationally? Do you feel like now that, you know, platforms like Fiverr have become more widespread that people are open to it? Or do you feel like there's still some concern about outsourcing your projects or your work to a person in another country?
Well, the point is, when it comes to outsourcing, most of the clients don't really like it, you know, because of the issues along the way. Like, I give you a project, you want to outsource to someone else, and then it's either you or maybe the person you're giving it to. It's possible he's not a professional as well. So at the end of the day, you end up wasting my time, and then I just don't get what I want. So in time. So the point is, like a person, there are some of the time that I used to have massive sales like that. I used to do outsourcing. Yeah, of course, because I wouldn't want to disappoint my clients. I have tons of work on my table, so I can't just do it all. I need people's assistance. So most of the time when I do this outsourcing, I make sure that I do thorough interview for the people I'm going to work with to make sure that, yes, the way I do it too, so they can actually produce the same value I produce. So, but if you're not professional, there's no how you're going to figure out the professional ones that you could outsource to, because many people tell you they're professional on Fiverr and some of these freelancing platforms. Everybody claims to be professional. So if you don't take your time to ask them questions, to give, ask them to show you the previous work and then experience on that, then try to vet every information you get from them to know if actually they're professional, then you might just lose the project, lose the time, lose the strength, lose the even your effort. So everything is just going to be a loss. So outsourcing is not really good on the part of the client because they don't really like it. They want you as a professional that they know to handle the job instead of giving out to somebody else.
Got it. So basically, I'm going to say 3 points that I think I got from what you said. One is that what you may be paying out in a lower price for the project, you're probably going to have to make up in time, because you're going to have to work through the project. You're going to have to vet the person. You're going to have to do the due diligence in order to make sure that the project at the end of when it's being delivered to you matches what your expectations are on quality as the person purchasing it. The second thing I think I heard you say is that not everyone on the platform is equal. That you do have some people that are professional. You don't have some people that are professional, and that it's really a good way of approaching it as purchasers or buyers of these services to really make sure that you are asking for reference work, that you're asking for portfolios, that you're looking at recommendations and reviews in order to make sure that you're actually working with someone who is more than likely to deliver what you want. And then the third thing I heard you say is scale, that system is scale. So because there's a big volume of work, that sellers oftentimes have to be project managers. They have to then give that work to someone else. And it's up to the sellers and providers, the freelancers in this space, to make sure that the person that they're giving the work to as a representation of that freelancer or seller, that person delivers the same quality work as the freelancer would. Otherwise, you're going to promise a certain level of work and the buyer is going to ultimately be unhappy because the person that you have now contracted as a seller, Ruben, didn't deliver on the same level as you would have. Are those 3 points about right?
Yes.
All right, good. Cool. All right, so let's talk about like the ecosystem that you live in, right? Do you know a lot of people who are currently freelancing in the way that you are that live within, let's say, 50 miles of you? Like, is this something that's big in your community, with your friends, with people that you know, with your network, or is this something that you're doing pretty much alone?
Well, the point is, I know so many people who are into freelancing as well, but the greatest thing in all that we do together is that everybody specializes on different services.
Got it. So you're providing, let's say, digital marketing. You're focused on YouTube, podcasting, like, social media. And then you have another person that's maybe a designer. So they can create covers for you and artwork for you. Another person may be content, and they might be writing for you. And so all of you guys are working separately, but you also can work together to make a project happen.
Exactly. That's just the point. We have. I think we should be up to even over 1,000, because not basically in my own city. We have some who are in South. Western part of Nigeria. We have some who are in the eastern part of Nigeria, as I based in the north. So, but we have social media, like we have WhatsApp group, we have Telegram group where we connect together. Like maybe I am looking for someone who does game development. Maybe I have someone who needs someone who wants to do game development for them. I just posted a group. You are good at developing game, there's someone that needs your service. So if you're interested, just message me, and then I'm gonna connect the client to the developer, and then they work together. So many services, but the point is your own area of specialty. You have to develop yourself to be a professional before you could be part of the group. If you're not a professional, of course, you're not welcome.
So in those instances, do you get a referral fee? Like, what's the benefit for you connecting? I know socially it's important to create relationships, so you and the game developer get more acquainted with one another professionally, and you're servicing your client. But financially, do you end up getting like some level of referral fee for that, so that your time and your access to the seller is being compensated in some way?
Well, unfortunately, we don't get anything. You just do that. The mentality is, you just try to help the clients by helping him to find a seller. That's all. We don't gain anything in return.
Nothing. That's awesome, man. I mean, listen, referral fees are big. Usually, I mean, I know here when you're in marketing, it's usually about 20%, which is about how much Fiverr charges. But typically, like, the way that Fiverr charges you from connecting you to a client is typically the way that most referral fees work when you're doing, when you're referring someone out to another seller. So I know that you guys don't do it, but I know that that's something that is pretty typical here. It's about 20%, 15 to 20% is what people are doing in order to refer out clients. So tell me, and I'm going to ask you a few more questions, and then I'll let you kind of talk through some stuff if you want. But do you feel like Nigeria in general gets a bad rap when it comes to digital space and telecommunications, that a lot of folks just feel like it's a lot of fraud there and a lot of scamming there? Do you feel like it hurts you in the way that the public perception around Nigeria is right now?
Yeah, of course. It's a terrible thing, because most people of my age, and even those who are teenagers, what they love to do now is to scam people. You know, it becomes a culture here in Nigeria. You see people, they just don't want to do anything legit anymore. They just find pleasure scamming a lot of people online, stealing from them, taking the money away, all in the name of, I want to be your something. So now the point is, it's really affecting us. It's affecting myself as a person, because there are a number of times I've met with people on Global Network, they tell me, oh, no, no, no. There, we cannot work together. So, but as a person, I know I'm a professional at what I do. So, whosoever that would like to try my service will definitely come back for more. And I have those who come back for more. They even refer some people to me. So, but if we put it on the scale, trust me, I am only getting 30% of what I ought to be getting if Nigeria happens to be a good country where people don't scam, where people don't fraud. But because 700% of the youth in Nigeria are into fraudulent transactions, so it's really affecting the sales we ought to be getting as professional freelancers. So many people don't trust us, and it's affecting big time.
That sounds tough, man, because if you're really just trying to be a professional, you know, just what's happening that you can't really affect starts to affect your business, and you really have to figure out a way to combat that. Like, it's just in your own work, I guess, in the networks that you're in, fight, you know, against the perception that everyone, regardless of if it's, you know, 70%, 50%, 30%, right? The perception is everyone does it. And so you're one of those people that are just out there really trying to push your own professional services forward. And so I imagine that must be tough.
Well, of course, my own attempt to make sure that we cover all this is we still try to go on the street, look at those who might be gentle, you know, those who are responsible. Because, you know, on the street these days, you just see some of these boys, they're just not responsible. They just don't want to hear about any opportunity you want. Some of them don't actually believe you could actually work online legitimately and then make some dollars legitimately. They don't want to believe that. They just believe the only way you could hang online is just to look for some skits and give to some people and then take away what belongs to them. So, in an attempt to reduce this unforeseen circumstances, we try to look at those who are responsible. We'll bring them into the system. We'll walk them through the process. I'll make sure that they have the skills so they can sit at their home comfort zone and then use these skills to change their own life, change that of their family. But, you know, the population of those who are doing this fraud, they are too many, so we just can't be able to control it all because the government of the country, their effort is not enough. And most of the time, I thought about even leaving Nigeria because it's really affecting. If I go to a country like United Arab Emirates, which is close to Nigeria, country like Egypt, and even South Africa, those places, they're not into fraud. So if I'm there, at least I wouldn't have clients that will complain about my country, so I wouldn't be losing a lot of customers. So that's in my thought anyway. So anytime I have the better environment, the atmosphere, I can always take my leave. Because the point is, when problems get to some point and you just can't be able to solve it, you have to please yourself.
Absolutely. I agree with you, man. I agree with you. Listen, that's one of the benefits of being a freelancer in the digital space, right? Is that you can take your business with you. You don't have to have your business in any one location. So interesting, right? Like, I'm going to ask you a question that I think I have my own answer on, but I want to see what you think, right? So you talked about the kids on the street and, you know, them being responsible. And I imagine, you know, in a part of just the scam culture, there's a little bit of the hustle, right? And so, and also to be a freelancer, you have to hustle. So what determines if the person has the potential to be a freelancer if you're just seeing them outside hustling, right? So if I'm hustling on the street and I'm doing whatever I'm doing in order to make money, what are some qualities that you see in a person that makes you want to have them join your network or become a freelancer? Because you see them hustling, you just know that they may need to hustle something else that's more productive.
Okay, that's a good question. Well, before you, we call it prospecting. You prospect those people. Before you prospect them, you have to look at the kind of outlook, the appearance, you know, like the kind of hairstyle they wear. Some of those people that do, what is it called? This curly hairstyle, I think, you know, the kind of hairstyle they wear, the kind of clothes they put on, you know, like some of these irresponsible boys, you see them, they put on shorts most of the time. The hair is tattered, not properly kept. And when you talk to them, like maybe you try to have interaction with them, the way they approach you, like some of them, when you try to talk to them, they just look you from head to toe. They try to estimate your value to see if truly you really have a business, because they were like, look at someone who is asking me is going to do a business, who want to give me some training. You don't even want $100. So why should I follow you? So most of these people, from the way they respond to you, you get to know that, no, this is not the kind of person that really need it. Like there are many people who do this side also, they are doing legit also. But when you call them, sometimes they're just not interested because they never believe there could be anything called freelancing where you just sit at your own convenient place and then you're working for people to make some ends meet. But in most cases, these responsible ones, they dress corporately, they look good, and then you see them, the way they approach you, the way they respond to you is just cool. And lastly, the focus is students. Most of the students in higher institutions, it's difficult to get them because they've gone far and wide in the world of fraud. But most of these kids from, let's say, advanced schools, like high school. So those ones, they are still at the level of 10 years, 12 years to 14, 15 years, of course. So those ones, they are easily captured and we attract them to get the skills. And that's why the people we get, they are dominated with this age range between 10 to 14, 15, 16 years. But talk about younger adults at the age of 18, 20, 22, 23, those ones, they're just looking for money they're going to make right now, and then they lavish everything just right now. So.
So you're saying that you start the process of development earlier so that you can help shield those individuals from skills that wouldn't really be helpful for them in the future. So instead of finding them at 18, you're looking to find them younger and grow their skills so that when they do become young adults, they have all the skills in order to be contributing.
Exactly. That's the goal.
Okay. And what about in your, let's use your country or your experience, what's the percentage of men to women? So are a lot of women in Nigeria getting into freelance? Do you find a lot of women on the apps that you're on being successful, or do you see it as being male dominated? What's the percentage there? Do you prospect women to also join, or are you particularly moving forward with guys?
Well, talk about population and the percentage. Of course, the females are the highest percentage. So most of the prospects we have, they are male. Particularly as a person, I don't really like talking to the girls because, you know, there's this notion that you want to introduce business to them, they just think of something else, like maybe you're looking for a girlfriend. And some of them, when they come into the business, they're just not serious. You know, I think it's natural or something. Only few. We have females who are doing it, but they are just very few. In fact, if I should count them by number, if we have a total number of 1,000 people, hardly would you get 20 females. So because most of the females, they have this notion that in Africa, the hustle is for the guys. The guys should hustle, why they will eventually become a wife. It's not like out there, like a Western world, where the girls understand the power of business and they want to learn something, they want to go into business. You know, my experience made me understand that the notion here in Africa is different from the notion in America and different part of the world. Here, they want to be like working with you as a husband and then getting money from you. They don't really have that business orientation, having this personal developed skills or digital skills. So that's why most of the time you talk to them, they're just not interested. And for those who might listen to you, they come into your office. At the end of the day, you see that they're not serious. Maybe you tell them to put on the computer and do some of these things. They just don't do it well. So that's why as a person, I just stopped talking to the girls. If any of my colleagues bring in one of them, I'm ready to work with you. But for me to ask you to come and then start so I can help you out, no, because they start thinking. And there are some of them too that they will come into the business. They say that, wow, this is good. At least I can learn how to make $100, $50 online. So when they come into the business, they start looking for boyfriends. So the distractions, the losing of focus is just making the population of the ladies to be reduced in terms of people we have who are really ready to get these skills. So the guys,
so basically what I'm hearing is that in a business that already has a lot of fraud and scam prevalent, you're looking for the most focused individuals. And so in a space where everyone has to be focused, that maybe putting in two opposing genders, right? So two genders that are going to be interested in one another may create distractions for one another. And so the best thing to do is to kind of just focus on the guys and then have them be the person that drives the business, because anything else might cause a distraction otherwise. Is that about fair?
Yeah, of course. That's just it. But for any ladies that is ready to follow the rules, because in every offices we have the rules, dating is highly prohibited.
Okay.
If you're ready to go by the rules, of course, you're welcome.
Got it. So you're open to it. And I think that's important, right? So it's not like you're discriminating against gender. It's not that you don't want women. It's just that that in your experience that it's a little harder to get the focus. But if there were any dedicated girls or women that wanted to enter into the freelance space and they were serious about it, you as a connector of this network, as a freelancer, as someone who's working on Fiverr and other platforms, you'd be happy to help them through the development process.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
All right, cool. So where do you see yourself in about 5 years?
Of course, in about 5 years, I see myself as a business individual who doesn't actually need to work again. But on the other hand, would have this total number of people that I've trained doing the business the same way I started it now. And then by then, the accumulative effort of the team will produce my own monthly residual income, because the goal of the business is to make sure that you work harder now that you have the strength. So in the next 5 years, where you don't really have all the strength again, the accumulated effort of what you have done now will be offering you your monthly check. So you hang your monthly check on monthly basis, and then we should be talking about avenue where you're gonna be making like $4,000 every month or more, or even more. That's the goal of the organization.
So is that so you say it's network, so it's basically a program where you bring people on, and if they make money in this process, you also get some level of residual income?
Yeah, you know, network marketing business has to do it. You do it and then you bring in some people. So on each person you train, on each person you work with, they're going to give you your own specific commissions on a monthly basis. Just like for the differences, the more people you grow, just like the same way we talk about it now, that I have someone who want to build game, and then I have someone who does game. So I'm the intermediary connecting them together, but unfortunately I don't get anything. But in network marketing that produce the product, you have someone who might possibly need a product, but because of financial difficulties, you firstly take him through the channel of understanding the power of finance, how to make the money. And then after that, then you now show them the importance of partnering with the company. So the products they're getting is for their own development, for their own usage and for the family. So at the end of the day, they understand the business, they grow the business, and they're also making their own monthly income through the business. So the same way you're earning, that's the same way they're also going to be earning.
All right, awesome. So let's do this, right? So I'm going to go over some of the services that you said that you offered. And just for the people who would be listening to this podcast, if I'm missing any services that you directly offer, let me know. So you have services that include digital marketing, social media, and when we're talking about digital and social, you're talking about doing YouTube, podcasting, any of the platforms, Spotify, all of that space. And then I would imagine that you're also supporting folks in creating content and creating strategy. Are there some other spaces that I'm missing?
Yeah, of course. Telegram promotion to get active members, subscribers, and then Discord server promotion for NFTs.
All right, nice. So when someone wants to find you directly, right? So if any of my listeners want to work directly with you, what's the best way? Like, do you guys have like an Instagram, or do you guys have anything that where someone can contact you directly? I know I have your information from the platforms, but is there something where you can they can connect with you directly to find out more about your services?
Of course, I have email. They could contact me through my email directly, and then I have almost all the social media. Skype. I have my Skype account. I could actually make my Skype ID available so you can reach me through Skype. I have Facebook, Instagram, and then and talk about portfolio. I am trying to the case of getting hosting and domain. That's just what is the lane, because I want to make it big, so that it's gonna be like a website where people can easily contact me through the website after getting access to the domain, so they can read through what we do and then the past previous work we've done, the excellent review we've got from the client, and then the contact information through which they could possibly reach out to me. So it's going to be a bigger website, not just something basic that wouldn't have all the information, necessary information that we wanted to have. And then, of course, part of the people that bring into the business, I've seen some people who does websites. They specialize in website development even before they mission. And, of course, when they come, they don't know anything about Fiverr. So we just have to teach them, okay, if you want to have a project, this is how you set up your account. This is how you reply message. This is how you respond to whatever questions they ask you. This is how you do this. This is how you do that. So through me, I have people those came now. I have some other persons that does websites. So or as a person, I only do marketing and then promotion.
All right, perfect. So last question before we go, and then I'm going to ask you to give some level of contact information. But I have one question. What didn't you know about business or being a freelancer or being an entrepreneur, starting to become an entrepreneur? What didn't you know that you know now? So coming in, when you came in at 2019, what didn't you know that you now know today?
Okay, good question. You know, before I came into the business, I never knew that it's going to be very good for me. Like, let me put it this way. I never had a dream before freelancing. You know, I've always thought about, let me just find a job. And then since I'm done with education, let me just find a job. Maybe I'm working in the bank and they're giving me some good amount of money so I can just have an apartment and then get myself just one car and then everything is fine. I never had this mentality of having my own business, building a dream for myself and having a lot of people working with me. No, never before freelancing. So, but after I joined freelancing, then I've met with a lot of people. Like there was a man I worked with. Is from United States, New Jersey. So he gave me a lot of advice. He told me he loved what I do, that he spent over $50,000 on education. And funnily enough, that today he's not even doing anything relating to education. He's into traveling and tour business. So he's a travel agent. So he was trying to encourage me that I can see that he's now working on his dream. The education has nothing to do with whatever he's building now. So he was telling me that his mom is a primary school teacher. And then today he had to retire his mom and he's the one paying his mom weekly salary. So the kind of life he has ever prayed to have is to have a business where he can actually make some money he wants so he can handle some responsibility himself. So meeting with these people from this different part of the country, learning from what they have been through, giving me some kind of advice and encouragement, made me understand that, yes, if I should continue with my freelancing and all the skills I have, then I should work towards building a dream, looking for a big business that I could become a CEO, that then I have people working with me in that business, so as to have a kind of a lifestyle where I just have to relax at home, sleep, have time to travel, enjoy lifestyle, while these people will be working through the business connectivity to make sure that at the end of the month, the owner of the business gets something in return from which I would be making payment of salary. So that is having a dream now due to the fact that I'm into freelancing as an entrepreneur is one of the greatest things that has ever happened to me. So there are things I wanted to go into, like maybe getting myself involved in some pretty things that people talked about, which is the normal thing. I try to disassociate myself from all those things because for one who is building a dream, your level of thinking, behavior and doing things should be different from many Africans who doesn't even have a dream, so let alone building one.
Got it. All right, so anyone who wants to be interested in your services that wants you to help them with digital marketing, why don't you share your Instagram? That's pretty easy. So why don't you share the Instagram for your freelancing business?
Okay. Should I put it on the chat here? Or
it's going to be audio, so they're going to need to hear it.
Okay. Well, my Instagram username is TK Says. So I just choose that as a nickname. So that was it. I started with that username, TK Says. So if you go to Instagram now, you just search for TK Says, and then you're going to see my picture. My picture is there, and then I have 100 plus followers already on that account. So, but I actually don't view social media because majorly when you try to scout people on their social media, I don't really understand why they think you are not real. So that's why I don't focus on building my social media account.
Got it.
I just work on all this freelance platform.
Got it. All right. Got it. That makes a lot of sense. So that social media, actually kind of understand why you would be skeptical because of how, of the perception around transacting business on social media it may not be a qualified source of revenue for you. I was asking for it, you know, just so that you, people can reach you directly. I know that on Fiverr, it's Chris Webb Tech, C-H-R-I-S-W-E-B-T-E-C-H. It's Chris Webb Tech. And I would imagine that if someone wants to get in contact with you, they can always reach out to me, and I'm glad to send over the business to you if any of the listeners are interested. Well, listen, I appreciate your time. I thank you for sharing your own experience on the platforms as a provider, a service provider, and more so as a service provider in the international space. Someone who is being outsourced work through various platforms and applications, and you know, who's dealing with struggles like language, like the perception of one's country, and really fighting through all of that to really deliver a really great product to people, and to build the business and dreams that you have of your own. So so thank you so much. Do you have anything more that you want to say?
Well, not anymore. Just just that I never had this kind of experience before, having someone to ask me this kind of a survey, you know. So I know the reason why you like interested in getting to know all this information.
Sure. So for me, you know, I came from a marketing background. I got into entrepreneurship and business through marketing, and I'm a marketing and business coach. And so I think that there's a story to be told about outsourcing projects, brand work, marketing work, digital work, copywriting. All of the services, the plethora of services that are available to everyone via outsourcing, I thought it was important to take a second to highlight some of the individuals on the other side, the sellers, the people who, you know, just are there and are in a on an app or on a platform, and they're just helping you out. And there's a time difference. There may be a language barrier. There may be, you know, just a bunch of things that would make someone think that this isn't the way to go. And so I figured, let me put a voice, and it's actually gonna be two voices, I'm doing this twice, but let me put a voice to that, to those people, to the people that are on Fiverr, on Freelancer, on a lot of these service level websites. Let me give a voice to them, because my platform, I speak about entrepreneurs, about business owners, about executives, about their experiences, their life, their journey. And I feel like the freelancer market is a part of that journey, is a part of that experience, and more so specifically, the outsourced freelancer experience is a part of that. And so I wanted to make sure that I spoke with some individuals that are doing it right now, that are living in that space, and hear about their life and their journey and their experiences and how people interact with them, so that my audience and me as an individual can learn more about what it is to be on the other side of that platform.
Okay. All right. That's awesome.
All right. So thank you so much, Ruben, for your time. I appreciate it, man. I will wrap with you after this call in order to get more information about you, just to make sure that whoever wants to contact you can. This is Man Versus Brand. Thank you guys for listening out there. I appreciate you so much. Have an awesome, awesome week. Thank you.
Yeah, take care. Enjoy the rest of your day.
If this talk just resonated with you or could help someone you know, follow Dion or his guest on all social media platforms. Till next time. And remember, with any business or brand, give it your heart, make it real, or else forget about it. See you all soon.